Good afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. Alaska Seaplanes announced this week that it would be implementing a 6% temporary fuel surcharge on fares beginning Friday. The company cites a nearly 40% increase in fuel costs due to the ongoing conflict in the Middle East. Andy Klein, a spokesperson for the company, says as far as he knows, Alaska Seaplanes has never implemented a short-term charge of this kind before, but he calls the current surge in jet fuel prices unprecedented.
We didn't want to roll that cost into our fares because we want it to be temporary. We want it to reflect directly the cost that we're taking on with the fuel. We want to be transparent with our fares as much as possible with our passengers and our customers.
Alaska Seaplanes is a regional airline in Southeast Alaska, which operates out of a hub in Juneau. It services cities across the region, along with smaller communities like Angoon, Hoonah, Pelican, Elfin Cove, Klawock, Cake, and Tenneke Springs. Globally, jet fuel prices have surged following the U.S. and Israel's attack on Iran, with increases exceeding 50% in many cases. U.S. gasoline prices have also spiked over the last few weeks. Today, the Trump administration rolled back a law that mandates all goods traveling between U.S. ports to be moved on American-made and American-crewed ships in an effort to lower gasoline prices. Klein says the fare surcharge is intended to be temporary, and Alaska Seaplanes aims to reduce or eliminate it when conditions allow.
We hope it's a temporary measure. We want it to be a temporary measure, and we want people to understand directly the reason why there's this increase in our fare, because there's an increase in cost, and we're trying to keep it separate from our fare, and that's why we're having it be a surcharge.
Other larger airlines in the U.S. and across the globe have also begun raising prices in recent weeks due to rises in jet fuel costs. This is KTOO. Good afternoon, this is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. The city and borough of Juneau plans to move into a new city hall by the end of the year. That means the current building could be up for sale in the coming months. At a committee meeting Monday night, the Juneau Assembly moved forward with an ordinance that, if approved, would make the property located on Heritage Way in downtown Juneau available for purchase. The minimum bid would be $2.5 million. This comes after years of push and pull between city administrators and Juneau voters over whether Juneau really needs a new city hall. At the meeting, most assembly members supported putting some conditions on the sale to support community goals, such as year-round occupancy. But some cautioned that adding too many conditions may dissuade potential buyers. Assemblymember Christine Wall says the city will need to balance values with recouping funds.
This project to move City Hall has been very expensive, more expensive than we would have ever wanted, and the public is not happy about it. So I do feel like we have a responsibility to get at least fair market value for this property.
City Manager Katie Kester says while the building is in a prime location, it needs a lot of updates.
I think there's definitely a good chance that someone who purchased this would want to take down the building.
Juneau's current City Hall building near Marine Park fits less than half of the city's employees and needs millions of dollars in maintenance and repairs. The city asked voters twice during recent municipal elections to approve bond debt to pay for the construction of a new city hall, but they shot it down both times. Instead, last fall, the Juneau Assembly greenlit a multi-million dollar purchase of two floors of the Michael J. Burns Building in the Flats neighborhood to become Juneau's new city hall location after renovations. Kester says the sale could take a while, but the intent is to finalize it by the time the city staff move into the new location.
We are working towards a deadline of moving into that building by the end of the calendar year. Still probably a little optimistic, but that would be the goal.
The assembly plans to take public comment on the ordinance at a future meeting before voting, but they will also take up the topic again as a committee to discuss how they want to sell the building and any potential conditions they want added to the sale. And climate change has caused winter in Alaska's largest cities to warm more dramatically than other major cities across the U.S. But as KTOO's Alex Solomon reports, this winter in Juneau hasn't matched the overall trend.
The long-term climate trend shows Juneau should be getting warmer winters with less snow. But there's always year-to-year variation. This winter stands out as a prime example. It's something of an anomaly. Nicole Farron is the warning coordination meteorologist for the National Weather Service in Juneau. She says that's the difference between climate and weather.
Climate is what you expect, and weather is what you get.
This winter, Juneau has received twice the amount of snow it gets on average. the capital city has actually gotten more snow than Fairbanks and Anchorage combined. This is Juneau's sixth snowiest winter on record so far. Just a few more inches could move up that ranking. Even though it's mid-March, there's more snow in the forecast. Juneau has also experienced a temperature yo-yo between extended cold snaps and rapid warm-ups this winter. In the local climate record, Farron says it was the second coldest December, one of the warmest Januaries, and a roughly average February. It's ranked the 26th coldest winter. But she says looking at an overall average misses the full picture of what happened over the season.
The winter as a whole ends up appearing pretty normal, even though it definitely doesn't feel normal because we had kind of two extremes in there.
Anyone with a shovel can tell you that this has been a particularly wintry winter. But over the long term, the season is growing warmer with less snow in Juneau and around the state. During the past few decades, more than two-thirds of Juneau's winter days have risen above temperatures that were typical of the past. In Anchorage, a little over half of its winter days are warmer than they used to be. That's according to a report by Climate Central, a nonprofit research group that analyzed 245 major U.S. cities using daily average temperature data from NOAA weather stations. Caitlin Trudeau is a senior climate science research associate at Climate Central and wrote the report, called Shorter Winters. She says the season isn't necessarily disappearing, it's just not as cold as it used to be. And her goal was to quantify by how much.
The winters of the past, a lot of the winters that people remember when they were growing up, we are seeing much fewer days of those kinds of winters.
Trudeau's analysis was based on a similar one by Brian Brettschneider. He's a senior climate scientist with the National Weather Service in Alaska and reanalyzed the data over a call with KTOO. Compared to Trudeau's results, his analysis found fewer winter days have warmed in Juneau and Anchorage, closer to a third of the season.
In the areas where there are big changes, what can seem like trivial differences in the methodology can have outsized impacts.
The main differences in the methods were that Brettschneider looked at an earlier period, used slightly higher temperature thresholds, and smoothed out the data differently. Neither analysis has been peer-reviewed, but Brettschneider says that no matter how you look at the data, it's clear that Alaska's winters are losing their trademark chill. Climate change is causing Alaska to warm faster than anywhere else in the country, and it's particularly noticeable in the winter. It's called Arctic amplification. Brettschneider says it's driven by melting sea ice and less snowfall.
Because snow acts like a mirror, it reflects solar energy back out into space, right? So with fewer days of snow on the ground, those days are notably warmer than they used to be. With less of the Arctic covered in sea ice, more of the oceanic warmth can be liberated to the atmosphere.
According to NOAA data that Climate Central analyzed, Anchorage's average winter temperature rose 4.6 degrees Fahrenheit between 1970 and 2025. In Juneau, it rose 5.5 degrees Fahrenheit. Since Juneau's winter temperatures typically hover around the freezing point of water, a spike in temperature can quickly turn snow to rain. A 2022 report by local scientists at the Alaska Coastal Rainforest Center predicts that the snowpack in Southeast will decline significantly by the end of the century, by as much as 22 or even 58%, depending on the rate that humans pump greenhouse gases into the atmosphere. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And voting begins today for University of Alaska staff across the state to decide on forming a union. The group is called the Coalition of Alaska University Employees for Equity. The new union is organizing as part of the UAW, one of the largest unions in the nation. Mike DeLu is on the organizing committee for the group. He works for the University of Alaska Fairbanks International Arctic Research Center as a research professional, but spoke to KTOO in his capacity as an organizer. DeLu says organizers' conversations with staff members often focus on wanting stability and fair compensation.
They're talking about the fact that things feel unstable, and a union can help provide stability, can argue for stability, argue for keeping us competitive in the market of universities in the United States, as well as making sure that we compensate staff appropriately.
The group filed a petition to form a union last year. It would include permanent UA staff that work in financial aid, advising, communications, and more. There are some exceptions, such as supervisors. Roughly 2,300 employees are eligible to vote in an election on forming the union. Doing so requires a simple majority of voters. If approved, the union would join 5 others that already represent university employees. It would also be the largest union in the system. Jonathan Taylor is the University Director of Public Affairs. He says the university administration opposes unionizing.
We think that it would reduce the flexibility that employees currently have and slow decision-making and also limit our ability to respond to financial uncertainty. That said, that is an operational position. It's not an ideological position. And employees certainly have the right to decide whether or not that's what they want.
Taylor says the university encourages all eligible staff to vote to ensure their voice is heard in the process. DeLu with the union says some flexibility in some aspects can be incorporated into union contracts.
We know for a fact, both from other universities where staff have unionized, but also from the other unions that represent workers at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, have negotiated for flexibility in terms of things like merit-based wage increases.
Terms like wage increases would all have to be negotiated in the contract. That wouldn't come until after the Alaska Labor Relations Agency certifies that the union is formed and the bargaining process begins. Eligible staff have until March 31st at 4 p.m. to cast their vote. DeLu says they expect an initial count of votes to come out on April 1st. And Alaska Congressman Nick Begich III has introduced a bill that would exempt the state's permanent fund dividend from federal taxes. The Alaska Beacon reports that Begich said that getting the legislation passed into law was, quote, going to be a lift, end quote. State lawmakers applauded the effort, however, when Begich mentioned the bill during his address to the legislature earlier this month. Begich has also seen success moving legislation during his first term in Congress. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in.